ever. I shouldn't even be having this conversation with you, considering Silas had the exact same conversation verbatim with you. And if you don't think I'll allow him to turn you over his knee and spank that pretty ass, if you say that kind of fucked up shit about yourself again, then you couldn't be more wrong. Her eyes widened, and her mouth dropped open.
He wasn't teasing me?
She squeaked. Does Silas strike you as the type of man to tease? Drake asked dryly. Point taken, she muttered. Then she glanced up at him, a gleam in her eyes that made him go instantly hard. What is that look for? He asked suspiciously.
Well, I did promise to be creative in the way I expressed my gratitude, she said solemnly, though the too innocent expression on her face told him she was anything but solemn.
Oh, you did now, did you? Just how creative are you, Angel? She flashed a shy smile and peeked up at him from beneath her lashes. Then she reached up and twined her arms around his neck, having to stand on tiptoe to elevate her diminutive height. She looked adorably shy, and color rose in her cheeks.
I don't want to disappoint you, Drake. Ever. And you know I have no experience except with you.
He was inordinately pleased with her assertion that he was her only experience, and that no reference at all was made to her shithead ex. He wasn't so pleased with her statement of not wanting to disappoint him, but he didn't interrupt her, because she was obviously struggling with what she wanted to say.
What I would like is for you to teach me how to please you. Only you. You said the other night was for you, but in reality, it was all about me. Tonight?
She sucked in another breath.
Tonight, I want it to truly be all about you. I want you to have absolute control and show me how to pleasure you in any way you want. I want you to make me do whatever it is you want me to do to you. For you. And I don't want you to hold back for fear of hurting or scaring me.
She paused for a moment as she stared into his eyes as if gauging his reaction.
I want you. Just you. Nothing else. Just you, your control, your dominance, the man you are, the man I know you to be. I'm not trying to change the rules, I swear. I don't want control tonight. I only want for you to be selfish for once and to take what you need from me, however you want it, need it, like it. I just wish I knew enough not to have to ask you how to give you all I want to give you.
She finished in a whisper, a thread of regret in her voice. He was shaken. He, a man who was unshakable. But her sincere plea cut to the very core and uncovered parts of his heart that had long ago been shut off, never to be opened or to bleed again. For anyone. He framed her beautiful face in his hands, cradling it gently as he stared down into her eyes, losing all sense of himself. I'm glad you don't have the experience to know all there is to know about pleasing me, he said in a savage tone. There is nothing more beautiful than a woman asking her man to guide her and teach her how to pleasure him. You make me feel like I'm the only man who's ever even entered your world, Angel. You can't imagine how that feels. She smiled, her eyes glowing warmly.
Then you'll do it? You'll take me the way you want to take me tonight? Rough, hard, long, sweet. It doesn't matter, Drake. Because pleasing you, bringing you pleasure, gives me the same and so much more. So very much more.
Dear God, what she was doing to him in such a short time. He was in way over his fucking head, and he damn well knew it.
He was helpless to keep his defenses rigid and erect around her. And God help him, but he didn't want to. For the first time in his life, he wanted to let someone in. He just prayed that when that happened, and she saw the monster he truly was, that he wouldn't lose the precious gift staring at him, as though he were her entire world. He looked at her sweet smile, going over every single word, gift, she'd given him. Did she know how dark his desires ran? Did she fully understand the things that aroused him sexually? Somehow, he didn't think so. In her innocence, how could she? He had no doubt that she was utterly sincere, and here in this moment, she would give him anything he wanted, would do for him anything he wanted. But would she understand, or would she see his dark fantasies as a betrayal of his promise to protect her and always take care of her? "Be very sure of what you are offering me, Angel," he said, his tone low and serious. "I'm sure," she said with no hesitation. "Then I want you to remember something, the most important thing of all, when I take what I want from you tonight. You gave me your trust, and you will need to not only remember that, but to believe in that trust. And in me." She didn't look or appear frightened. There was a spark of curiosity, and a delicate shiver stole over her body, as though she were imagining what he was thinking, what he wanted, would demand of her tonight. He pulled her in closer to his body, until nothing separated them, and his arms were wrapped around her satiny, naked skin. He allowed his hands to roam down her back, cupping her buttocks, and then squeezing. "Do you trust me?" he asked, allowing her one last out. "Enough not to question anything I ask of you tonight. To follow and heed my instructions, regardless of what they may be." She leaned her head back, determination and resolve firm in those beautiful eyes. She looped her arms loosely around his neck, but never once did she break free of his gaze. "My gift to you is me," she said, in a sweet, soul-stirring voice that was a caress all in its own. "I am yours, Drake. I know you'll never hurt me. I can't promise not to ever be afraid at any point tonight. But you need to know that my fear is not of you. Never of you. If I fear anything at all, it will be the unknown. But most of all, my greatest fear will be of letting you down." "Then go and prepare for me," he said in a husky voice. "Take a long bath and soak for a while. There is no hurry, as it will take me a little time to make the proper arrangements for a night my angel has promised is all mine. My fantasy. My pleasure. And know, Evangeline, that you will be repaid in full measure for the gift you are offering me tonight. I too plan to come up with very creative ways of expressing my gratitude." He trailed a finger down her silken cheek, as their gazes remained locked. "When you are finished bathing, dry yourself and your hair, and then go lie down on the bed. Don't pull the covers and sheets back. I want you to lie in the middle, your hair spread across the pillows, thighs parted, hands above your head with your fingers wrapped around the slats of the headboard." She smiled, then sighed, and shook her head ruefully. "And yet again, a night that is supposed to be solely about you sounds an awful lot like I'm the one being a pampered, spoiled princess." He regarded her solemnly. "Have no doubt, Angel. You are my pampered princess. But tonight, I intend only to watch,
and this is very much for me. Just remember your promise to trust me, and know that I will never allow you to come to harm, and my night will be fucking perfect. 26. As Evangeline languidly soaked in the tub, she pondered the oddity of Drake's last words to her, before he'd ushered her into the bedroom and then disappeared, leaving her to heed his instructions. They seemed to be in direct contradiction, and try as she might, she couldn't come up with a scenario in which, as he'd said, tonight he'd only watch, but had followed it with a solemn vow that he would never allow her to come to harm. The two statements seemed incongruous. Granted, she didn't have much experience with sex, much less kinky, dominant sex or fetishes. She wasn't even sure what they were called, or even the differences between a kink and a fetish, or if there even was one. Well, she wasn't going to ruin what promised to be an exciting night by overanalyzing Drake's cryptic words. She was more focused on his reaction to her impassioned statement about wanting to please him, wanting him to teach her to please him, and that she wanted to give back at least a small part of all he'd given to her. That had pleased him immensely. There was no mistaking the wonderment and surprise and, yes, even delight over her sincerity. And he'd admitted what she'd already reasoned out on her own, that he had never had anyone who cared for him, who took care of him and placed his needs above their own. Had anyone ever loved him? Or at least cared deeply for him? Or were the majority of the people in his life manipulative users out to milk him for every cent they could extort? And what of his family? He'd never spoken of them, and he seemed bemused by her close relationship with her parents. In fact, she strongly suspected that he'd felt anger toward them and the fact that she'd given up so much to support them until he'd witnessed firsthand their love and concern for her. He'd even spoken to them himself, and after that, she'd never seen that fleeting hint of suppressed anger when she spoke of her family. "Oh, Drake," she whispered, her heart aching. "How lonely it must have been to live in a world where no one cared about you. How awful must it be for your worth to be measured by money and social status? Has anyone ever seen the real Drake Donovan? Has no one ever loved the real Drake Donovan?" If it was the last thing she did, she was going to prove to him that his money didn't mean a damn to her. For that matter, she wished he had none at all, because then he would never harbor any doubt as to her reasons for being with him. She would want to be with him, want desperately to submit to him and please him, even if he didn't have one cent to his name. But would he ever truly believe that? Or would some small part of him, deep down, buried under years of cynicism, always be there whispering insidiously in the back of his mind, telling him she was no different from all the others? She idly looked over at the clock on the counter by the sink and realized a full 30 minutes had passed while she contemplated the puzzle that was Drake Donovan. He'd told her to take her time, but he hadn't been specific. She had been specific in that this night belonged to him, and the last thing she wanted was to keep him waiting, and she still had to dry her hair and position herself accordingly on the bed. Pushing away all the senseless questions and speculation that had occupied her time in the tub, she rose, water rushing down her body. She stepped out and first wrapped a towel around her head and then took another to dry her body. After swabbing as much moisture from her hair as she could with the towel, she sat on the vanity stool and began combing out the long tresses. She sectioned off pieces of her hair and pulled a brush down the length, following it with a blow dryer. She wanted to look beautiful, and her hair, when freshly washed, blow dried, and brushed out, was one of her best features. She brushed until it shone and was extremely soft, giving her a windblown look that framed her face and tumbled down her back in layers.
After giving herself one last pat down with the towel to ensure her entire body was no longer damp, she walked back into the bedroom, relieved that Drake hadn't made his appearance yet. She crawled on top of the mattress, and with a sigh settled in the middle, her head nestled into the mound of pillows. Then she remembered his other directives. She parted her thighs so that just a hint of the lips of her vagina were visible, and then she reached upward to grasp the slats of the headboard. Even though she was in no way bound, the feeling of being subdued, captive, a prisoner awaiting what would happen next, sent delicious waves of pleasure coursing through her body. Her nipples puckered into tight, hard knots, and she could feel the dampness between her legs as her clit pulsed and ached, begging for attention. "I intend only to watch." Again his words floated through her memory, sending a fresh wave of curiosity and confusion through her veins. If he hadn't instructed her to put her hands above her head and hold onto the headboard, she would have assumed he wanted to watch as she masturbated. And while the first time he'd instructed her to touch herself when they were going to have anal sex had made her self-conscious, she was beyond that now, and was only eager to do his bidding if it pleased him to watch her pleasure herself. She languidly turned her head when the bedroom door opened and smiled when Drake appeared in the doorway. But her smile froze when she saw he wasn't alone. Behind him walked in an extremely handsome, well-dressed man she judged to be around Drake's age. Panic scuttled up her spine, and some of what she felt must have shown on her face, because Drake motioned for the man to stay back as Drake approached the bed. It was then she saw the rope Drake carried. He sat on the edge of the bed and slid one hand leisurely down her body, his smile warm and reassuring, but his eyes glittered with need. "Trust me," he whispered. And at those two words and the tenderness in his expression, her trepidation dissolved in an instant. "Oh, I trust you," she whispered, injecting all the warmth and emotion she felt into her smile. He took one of her hands and looped the rope around her wrist, securely binding it to the slat she'd held moments earlier. Then he did the same with the other until both hands were tied, rendering her helpless to shield her nudity from the stranger standing a short distance away. Then Drake leaned over and pressed his lips to her forehead. "I will never hurt you, Angel, nor would I ever allow another to hurt you. My wish for tonight is to watch another man pleasure you. He is well aware of my boundaries and what I will and won't allow." She licked her lips nervously and surprisingly, her initial fear dissipated, replaced by a warm hum of arousal. It was like tasting forbidden fruit. It felt decadently naughty for another man to pleasure her, have sex with her, at Drake's command. And then another thought took hold, and guilt surged rawly through her veins. Her worried gaze found Drake's, and she stared helplessly at him, so many questions swirling in her mind. Of all the scenarios she'd imagined, this hadn't been one of them. Drake was so forbiddingly possessive. She couldn't wrap her mind around him being willing to share his possession with another man. Drake's gaze softened as he stroked and caressed her breasts, cupping and palming them, thumbing her nipples to hardened peaks. "You do not betray me, my darling Angel. I won't have you thinking it, nor will I allow you to refuse yourself to feel pleasure, because I am not the one providing it." Her brow furrowed in genuine puzzlement, but evidently Drake considered the matter concluded. He stood and turned, speaking in a formal tone to the man behind him. "Her name is Evangeline, and she is mine. She is a priceless treasure, and I expect you to treat her as such. You will initiate her with gentleness and care, until she is comfortable with your presence and touch. Then, and only then, can you exert your will, my will, as I've outlined to you." Then he turned back to Evangeline. "Angel, this is Manuel, a man I consider a friend and someone I trust. He will pleasure you, and I expect you to heed his commands as they are mine. Tonight, I watch as another man pleasures and fucks what is mine." She shivered at the coarse, descriptive language Drake used, but then he'd likely purposely used it, because he well knew her reaction when he had used it before. And then Drake stepped away and walked to the chair diagonal to the bed, where he would be afforded a prime view of her having sex with another man. She was confused, curious, conflicted, and wildly excited all at the same time. Her breaths came in rapid, short bursts, and she could feel the heat of her flushed skin. Manuel walked to the bed as Drake had done, and stood staring down at her, raw arousal glittering brightly in his brilliant blue eyes. "I am honored," he said huskily. "Never before have I seen such a beautiful sight than an angel spread out before me, bound to the bed, her hair scattered across the pillows like silk." Oh, this man was good. Sheer seduction with only words. "Touch her," Drake said. "Caress every inch of her beautiful skin." Manuel slid one knee onto the bed and placed his palm over her belly, and she instantly jumped as a thousand tiny chill bumps erupted over her body. "I won't hurt you," Manuel said softly.
"I know," she said just as softly. "Drake would never let you."
Manuel smiled. "Drake is a lucky bastard. Your trust in him is a gift most men can only dream of." Her gaze skittered to Drake to see approval glistening in his eyes. He was leaned back in the chair, looking relaxed and at ease. Any worries she had about angering him over her sexual response to the man he had chosen evaporated. He looked pleased, as though he had great pride in her. And if this pleased him, if this was what he wanted, then she would give it to him unreservedly. As if sensing her thoughts, his gaze burned into hers, approval still bright in his eyes. "Your pleasure pleases me, Angel. Never forget that. You wanted to give me whatever I wanted tonight, and what I want most is to watch while another man temporarily owns you. Whenever you are comfortable enough with Manuel, then he will take over, and I will become a passive observer. But never think for a moment that this isn't something I will enjoy greatly. There is something decidedly erotic about seeing my woman tied to my bed, fucked and dominated by another man." She moaned as Manuel's hands traveled the same path as Drake's had just moments before over her breasts. His touch was different. Were she blindfolded, she'd know the difference all the same. "You may kiss her, lick her, use your mouth on her anywhere except her lips," Drake said to Manuel. "Her mouth is mine and mine alone, and that sweetness will never be tasted by any man but me. I'll console myself by tasting that sweet pussy," Manuel said. "I assure you, that will be no hardship whatsoever." "And those nipples," he murmured, even as his head descended toward her breasts. Her gaze found Drake's once more, as she arched upward when Manuel's mouth closed around one turgid point, and she sighed as he suckled gently, tonguing the tip, and then administering a light nip. To her keen disappointment, Manuel lifted his head and rose from the bed. But then she realized he was undressing, and her pulse sped up.
She looked at Drake instead of Manuel, as he deftly removed the last of his clothing.
"Look at him, Angel," Drake commanded. "Look at the man who's going to fuck you long and hard."
She swallowed and shifted her gaze, her eyes widening at the beautiful male physique standing next to the bed. His hand curled around his burgeoning erection, and he pulled back and forth, swelling and stiffening to complete hardness until it strained upward toward his navel.
"Lift her bound hands over her head and turn her so she lies crossways on the bed, her legs over the side so you can taste and fuck her pussy. She likes it hard and rough, Manuel, but I expect you to take care and work her up to the point where she can accept you and is ready to fully take you."
Unfamiliar but not unpleasant hands did as Drake instructed, and Manuel positioned and then stood between her spread legs, his eyes gleaming appreciatively as he stared down at her. He lowered himself to his knees and parted the lips of her pussy and began to softly nuzzle over the sensitive flesh. Lust surged and her hips arched. Her arms lifted, though her hands were bound, and suddenly she felt very familiar hands close around her wrists and yank them roughly back down to the mattress, holding them firmly in place. The dual sensation of one man between her legs and Drake holding her down from the top so she couldn't move made her squirm restlessly, a moan escaping her lips. Drake's head lowered, and he kissed her lips upside down.
"Let him pleasure you, Angel, while I watch him take what is mine." Manuel licked, sucked, and tormented her, taking his time devouring her pussy.
The pleasure was overwhelming, but her focus wasn't on Manuel. She didn't glance down at his dark head between her legs. She locked her gaze with Drake and curled her fingers around his hands, watching his reaction to this man, this stranger to her, only interested in pleasing Drake. Rough hands yanked her thighs apart, and Manuel's hand cupped her chin, pulling downward, his eyes glittering.
"Look at me, Evangeline."
He hadn't finished his command before he thrust hard into her. She gripped Drake's hands even harder, and he freed one to stroke through her hair as he silently offered her his support. Manuel rose over her, his body covering her, her breasts flattened against his chest as his hips undulated and rolled over hers, penetrating her deeply. But she found her gaze flitting back to Drake time and time again, absorbing the warmth and arousal in his dark eyes.
"So fucking beautiful," Manuel growled as he pounded harder into her. "Tell me, Evangeline, just how rough do you like it?"
Even as he spoke, he thrust his hand into her hair and yanked her head upward so she was forced to look at him. He lowered his head, and for a moment, she thought he would disobey Drake's directive that he was not to kiss her mouth. But he licked and nipped at her neck, her ear, and slid his lips down the curve of her neck, whispering words of praise in her ears.
"I can take anything for Drake," Evangeline said.
"I wonder if he knows how very lucky he is," Manuel mused. "Never doubt it," Drake growled.
"Help me turn her," Manuel said to Drake.
"I want that ass."
"Not until I've prepared her," Drake warned.
"I'd never hurt any woman, much less yours," Manuel said, his eyes narrowing.
Drake inclined his head.
"Of course. I meant no insult. Evangeline is very precious to me, and I wouldn't have her hurt in any way."
The two men turned her, ensuring her comfort. Drake untied her wrists and positioned her so her hand was free to touch herself. Manuel placed a pillow beneath her knees and then backed away so Drake could apply lubricant to Evangeline's opening, while he himself coated the condom he wore. Drake moved to the head of the bed, lazily reclining against the headboard, so he had a first-hand view of both Evangeline and Manuel.
"You will let me know if it becomes too much," Drake said in a serious tone, his gaze boring into Evangeline.
"I won't let you down, Drake," she said huskily.
He frowned. "The only way you would let me down is by enduring pain because you think to please me. I want your promise."
"I promise," she said sincerely.
Drake lifted his gaze to Manuel, who had taken position on his knees behind Evangeline, and even now caressed and stroked her bottom.
"Redden her ass before you fuck her."
"My pleasure," Manuel murmured. Evangeline moaned softly, closing her eyes briefly in anticipation. What would another man's hand feel like, smacking her behind? Her only experience with spanking had been with Drake. Would it only feel good because it was him? She soon had her answer when Manuel's hand smacked the fleshy globe of one cheek and fire ignited, quickly fading to be replaced by the warm glow of pleasure. She opened her eyes to see Drake's gaze warm and approving.
"My angel likes the pain."
"It's only pleasure," she whispered.
Manuel alternated cheeks, never striking the same spot, as he covered every inch of her behind until it ached and throbbed. She twisted restlessly, touching herself lightly, knowing not to go too far yet. She paused when he stopped, and then he placed both palms over her bottom and spread her wide, his cock bumping and nudging at her entrance. Then he stopped when the tip barely breached her opening, and she began to stroke herself in earnest anticipation of his entry.
"Fuck her hard," Drake said, repeating his earlier order. "Show her no mercy."
"Oh, God."
She began to tremble violently, already in danger of coming. Manuel pushed forward, just until the head of his cock fully lodged inside her, and before she could take a breath, he plunged forward, lodging himself to the hilt. She cried out and bucked wildly, uncontrollably. Manuel's hands gripped her hips to hold her still, but she fought, not against him, but against the rioting sensations that overtook her body.
"Jesus," Manuel muttered as he pushed her forward, trapping her between his body and the bed, holding her down as he pumped in and out of her ass.
He was rough, animalistic, taking her, owning her, everything Drake had asked him to do. Her hand, trapped between her body and the bed, moved frantically, chasing the orgasm that was rapidly blooming out of control. Then, to her surprise, Manuel rolled them to their sides, his cock still wedged deep inside her, and he moved her hand, replacing it with his fingers as he stroked and caressed her clit. He thrust in and out of her, and Evangeline's gaze found Drake's, wanting to share this moment with him. All for him. Only for him. Lust flared in Drake's eyes, and Evangeline could see the bulge between his legs, and in that moment, she wished he would take her, every bit as hard as Manuel was.
"Get there, angel," Drake said harshly. "Don't make Manuel wait."
She moaned deep in her throat and threw back her head as Manuel's mouth found her neck and bit into it with enough force to leave a mark. And then she simply let go and went flying over the edge, hurtling faster and faster, until Drake wavered in and out of her focus, the world blanking around her. She was panting harshly when Manuel gently pulled out of her, and then bent to brush a kiss across her forehead.
"Thank you for such a beautiful gift, Evangeline," Manuel murmured. "I'll never forget my one night with an angel."
"You can go now," Drake said. Evangeline dimly registered Manuel's weight lifting from the bed, and she heard the rustle of him dressing, and then the door softly shutting as he made his exit. She glanced toward Drake to see him get up and hastily rip his clothing off. Then he crawled onto the bed, turned her over, and was on her and inside her before she could take in a breath. His mouth covered hers, his tongue plunging as deeply as his cock thrust into her pussy. He devoured her, consumed her, his desire and lust overwhelming. He felt huge inside her, bigger than he'd ever felt. It was a race to completion, and for the first time, he didn't take care to ensure that she was with him. But tonight was for him. She'd made that clear, and so she wrapped her arms around his broad shoulders and stroked his back softly, caressing the hard muscles as he took what he needed, gave him all that she had. He exploded inside her within seconds, and then slumped down onto her as she continued to softly stroke his back. He nuzzled against her neck, his lips exploring the delicate skin as he kissed and then nibbled. "Mine," he growled. "So fucking beautiful. And all mine." 27. Evangeline was on her side, firmly nestled underneath Drake's shoulder, one arm stretched over his bare chest, and one leg draped over his. She was as limp as a wet noodle, and thoroughly sated. It was so tempting to drift languidly into sleep, Drake's warm body next to hers. But she was still overwhelmed, and trying to process the barrage of conflicting reactions to the way the night had played out. And maybe she needed further reassurance, even though Drake had made it abundantly clear that he was fine with what had happened. Hell, he'd orchestrated the entire affair, so it would be the height of hypocrisy for him to harbor any resentment or jealousy. But still, it wasn't as though she had any experience with the kind of lifestyle he lived and reveled in, so how couldn't she be deeply conflicted? "Drake?" she asked hesitantly. He lifted the hand of the arm she lay over and ran his fingers through her hair in slow, sensual pulls. "What's on your mind, Angel?" he asked in a tender voice. She burrowed her face further into his chest, suddenly shy and unsure of herself. "Did I disappoint you tonight? And are you angry that I enjoyed having sex with Manuel? That I orgasmed?" He turned, shifting so they faced each other, and he looped his other arm around her, pulling her close to him. "Angel, look at me," he said softly. With reluctance and a little bit of dread, she slowly lifted her chin until she finally met his stare. To her relief, his eyes were warm. Affection shimmered in their depths. "In no fucking way did you disappoint me. You have no idea how erotic and sexy as hell it was for me to watch another man take what is mine, what I own, and for me to command and control his pleasuring of you." Her eyes widened in surprise, because she just couldn't grasp the concept. It just seemed incongruous, with all she knew about Drake, that he would allow any man to touch her, much less have sex with her. "You are the most beautiful, uninhibited woman I've ever had, and you gave me something very special tonight. First and foremost, you gave me your trust unreservedly and never once showed any sign of backing out. And your primary focus was on me, not the man fucking you. You gave me the gift of yourself, ownership over your body to do with as I pleased, and whether you realize it or not, the amount of trust involved for you to give in to anything I want is huge. And not many women would ever give a man such a precious thing." "Wow," she whispered. "I guess I never thought of it that way." "You are my gift, Angel, and everything that comes with you, everything that makes you who you are, the very best gift that has ever been bestowed on me." She cocked her head to the side, studying his serious demeanor.
"Why does it arouse you?" she asked with genuine curiosity. "I mean watching, observing another man take me and own me the way you do."
"First," he said in a grave tone, "I am the only one who owns you. Never forget that. Manuel was here at my invitation, and he was given explicit instructions about what he could or couldn't do, but there was never any doubt over my ownership. Manuel felt privileged and was honored to be allowed to have you for a brief time. What man wouldn't be? As for why it arouses me?" He shrugged, his hand gliding down her waist to cup her ass. "Why does anything excite someone? Some things just are. In my case, it's a huge turn-on to do whatever I wish with what I own. That your body, your pussy, your ass, your mouth, every part of your very soul belongs to me and only me. And therefore, that gives me the power to make decisions about how such a precious possession is handled. Yes, another man fucked you. But that's all he did. He fucked you. He gave you pleasure, which in turn gave me pleasure. But he doesn't own you, doesn't possess you. He doesn't have all of you, and never will. All of you belongs to me, and it makes me hot as hell to watch another man have power over you and bend you to my will in a manner in which I instruct him, because it pleases me to have the privilege, honor, to make the decision to relinquish the power I have over you, albeit temporarily.
Is this something you will want to do often, then?" she asked quietly.
Drake's eyes narrowed as he studied her face, looking for some clue or motive behind her seemingly innocent question. But all he saw was honest curiosity.
"I think the better question is whether this is something you would want to happen often."
Her expression was earnest, her eyes radiating sincerity.
"I only want to please you, Drake. I want to make you happy. And if giving me to another man while you watch makes you happy, then of course I'd want to do it again."
She swallowed, and before he could respond, she continued on.
"I looked only at you," she whispered. "Even when he commanded me to look at him, I watched you, because I want to see your pleasure and your enjoyment. You are the one I want, Drake, not someone else. Yes, I felt pleasure, but you know why?"
His brow furrowed as he studied her, stunned by her admission, her open honesty, and the fact that she put it all out there and held nothing back. She was completely vulnerable, and he knew that vulnerability was one of the worst feelings in the world, and he never wanted her to feel that way with him.
"I enjoyed being with another man because I was pleasing you, and you enjoyed watching another man take and possess what belongs to you. That was my source of pleasure. I can barely recall the physical pleasure he gave me. It was there. I orgasmed. It felt good. I don't deny that. But my pleasure wasn't my focus. He didn't hurt me. I enjoyed the physical aspects. But emotionally, I was only focused on you. And because you looked at me with such warmth, pride, and approval, it wouldn't have mattered who you chose to have sex with me. Because only you matter to me."
He was incapable of responding, of saying anything at all. So stunned was he by the impact her words had on him. How deeply he felt, each and every one of them. He absorbed her impassioned statement, her expression, the sincerity shining brightly in her eyes. and it suddenly felt as though his heart was about to explode in his chest.
"Drake?"
she whispered tentatively, her eyes swamped with worry, and her lips turned down into an expression of unhappiness.
"Did I do or say anything wrong? Are you angry with me?"
His heart about to beat out of his chest, he turned her roughly, spreading her thighs, and as soon as she was on her back, he thrust into her, eliciting a gasp of surprise from her. Just as soon as shock registered in her eyes, it was replaced by a hazy glaze of passion and need. He withdrew more gently than he'd plunged into her, mindful of how tender she must be after taking on two different men in the span of a few hours, and then surged forward again, burying himself in her silken depths. He stared fiercely down at her, even as his hips moved back and forth, setting a leisurely pace, but he ached. Down deep, where he'd never felt anything, had never allowed anyone close enough to touch that part of him.
"No. Fuck no," he said forcefully. "God damn it, Angel. How the hell do you turn me inside out like this? You have me so twisted up inside that I can't fucking breathe. Angry with you? Hell no. You think you did something wrong? Nothing you've done is wrong. You are everything that is right and perfect and good in my world. Don't ever think you've said or done anything wrong. Until the day you lie to me, I will never have reason to be angry or disappointed with you." Already close to going over the edge and losing himself in her silken femininity, he thrust fully into her and remained there, embedded to the hilt, his chest heaving with emotion and need. So much need. It was as if she'd opened an old wound, making it raw again. As if for the first time since his childhood, when he'd learned early to shut himself off to others and feel nothing, he was feeling again. It wasn't a comfortable sensation. He felt far too exposed and, goddammit, vulnerable. The very thing he'd lamented her feeling just moments ago.
"I'll never lie to you, Drake," she said, her voice, even her expression, extremely solemn and sincere. "I've given you my unconditional trust, and I'd like very much if you could trust me in the same way. I understand if it's too soon, if it's not something you can give me right now. But one day, I hope to gain it, because having you, having your trust, is all I will ever want. Not your money, social status. Nothing but you and my hope that you'll have as much faith and trust in me as I do in you."
Ice-cold fear pervaded his chest, momentarily freezing him, rendering him incapable of speech. He trusted few people in his life. Less than 10, and all were his brothers. He'd never trusted any woman he'd been with, much less had unconditional faith in one. Experience had taught him that the women who flocked to him had no interest in him, only what he could provide them. But fuck it all. He had to say something to her. He couldn't lie there and stare at her like a fucking moron. He could almost feel her slipping through his fingers like running water. Impossible to hold on to. Women, especially a woman like her, who put it all out there, bearing her heart and soul, made herself vulnerable, open to rejection. She, who was the most honest, sincere person he'd ever known, wouldn't stay with a man if she didn't feel as though he would ever return the very things she so unconditionally offered him. But she seemed to understand the internal war that raged within him. She smiled sweetly, her eyes warm and full of understanding, as she placed one finger over his lips.
"I don't expect you to trust me or have faith in me this instant," she said, her voice full of all the sweetness that made her the angel she was. His angel. "Trust and faith must be earned, and it doesn't happen overnight. In time it will come, or it won't. All I'm telling you is that you have both from me. No conditions. No reservations. No going back. And I hope that one day you can offer me the same unreservedly. I don't want the words just to placate me, Drake. Words are meaningless. Never give me those words unless you truly mean it. But until such time as you feel those things and demonstrate them, I'll be here waiting. I'm not going anywhere. Unless you decide you no longer want me.
There was a hint of sadness as she said the last, her eyes dulling before she visibly composed herself and offered him the warmth of her smile, her eyes brightening once more. Not want her? Her entire statement was filled with enough fodder for him to be thinking and reflecting on for months, if not years. But not want her? Okay, so maybe in his past affairs, he wouldn't call them relationships, because to do so would demean what he had with Evangeline now. Such a statement from the woman involved would be likely. No, not even likely. It would be an eventuality. Inevitable. Because he never kept the same woman for more than a day, two at the most. But even given the short amount of time he'd known Evangeline, he couldn't imagine not wanting her. And that scared the shit out of him. He buried his face in her hair, overwhelmed by her generous, loving nature, and his acknowledgement of the selfish bastard he was. "I don't deserve you," he said, gruffly giving voice to something he'd never before said to another woman. Something he'd never believed before now, or even entertained. But he knew, whether his heart and mind were in agreement or not, that Evangeline deserved far better than he could ever give her. Even as the thought of her with another man sent fiery rage through his veins. He closed his eyes, inhaling the scent of her hair, nuzzling lightly through the satiny tresses. "I don't deserve to walk on the same ground as you. But God help me, I won't give you up. I can't give you up. You deserve a man who can offer you all the things you give to him and more. More than I can give you, Angel. And you deserve far better than I can ever give you."
"Well, it's a good thing you've decided you can't give me up, since I don't plan on going anywhere," she said lightly. "I'm yours, Drake, for as long as you want me. I'm yours."
He could envision the smile he was certain was on her face, the one that lit up an entire room and bathed it in sunshine. He knew without seeing her exactly what she looked like right this very moment, and it only made him feel like an even bigger bastard. She tenderly tucked his head away, so their gazes met, and then cradled his face with her palms, her touch as soothing as an ocean breeze. There was such gentle understanding in her eyes that the rock-hard shell that had surrounded his heart and mind for so much of his life began to crack and splinter, and he knew he couldn't allow it to shatter and fall apart. How could one innocent woman wreak so much havoc in his well-ordered existence? A daily routine that had become an unyielding ritual, shot to hell. Not to mention the conscience he had never possessed, picked now to reveal itself. He was as merciless and as cutthroat as they came. He hadn't gotten to where he was by being soft or suffering symptoms of a conscience, or by adhering to any rules save his own. And yet one tiny woman threatened the only way of life he'd ever known, the life he'd created for himself out of sheer necessity. He knew he should cut her loose now. Do the right thing and push her away. Let her go before he ended up destroying them both. But at least the cold, ruthless man he had been for as long as he could remember hadn't disappeared. Yet. And thank God for that. Because as long as he remained a heartless, selfish bastard, there was no way in hell he would ever let Evangeline go. If that made him a complete asshole,
Then so be it. He would shield her from the reality of the world he lived in, and make sure that his other life, the one she had no knowledge of, never touched her in any way. He'd learned at a very young age that nothing is ever guaranteed, and promises are rarely, if ever, kept. But he would make himself one promise right now, a risk he'd never before taken, because broken promises to others were bad enough. But breaking a vow to himself was unthinkable. He wouldn't hurt Evangeline, nor would he ever lie to her. She deserved that much respect, and it was more than he ever offered anyone else. He would do whatever it took to protect and shield her from the truth, the reality. But he couldn't bring himself to lie to her, when she demonstrated so much trust and faith in him. Trusting others was an alien concept to him, but for her, he would try. He could learn. She'd already taught him much. That good did exist in a world that hadn't done much to prove that fact to him. She'd given him no reason to doubt her or her motives, and that alone was far more deserving than what he currently offered her. Anything that money could buy. But his angel wasn't for sale. Couldn't be bought. What she wanted most was something he wasn't sure he could give her. He trusted his men, as much as he was capable of trusting someone, but he wasn't fool enough to think they'd never betray him. Could he ever offer Evangeline something he couldn't even give men he considered brothers? He didn't have an answer to that yet, but he could damn well try. He eased from the velvety clasp that clutched greedily at his dick, causing them both to emit a low moan after his remaining at maximum depth with no movement for a prolonged period of time. She felt swollen and tight around him, his cock hypersensitive, as her inner walls clamped down and squeezed as though protesting his retreat. "Am I hurting you?" he asked roughly.
"No. Yes. God, I don't know. Just don't stop."
Her voice was tight and hoarse, and her hands flew to his shoulders, her nails digging deep, marking him as he'd marked her in the past. The visual of her brand on his skin catapulted him into a frenzy. He began pumping into her, his pace frantic, and yet she still urged him on. She arched, meeting every thrust. Her face was a wreath of agony and ecstasy.
"Get there, angel,"
he ground out, even as he felt the first violent expulsion of his semen pulsing deeply into her pussy. She cried out, her nails sharper, digging even deeper, breaking skin, and he reveled in the sharp bite of pain. He pushed her harder and harder, faster and faster, until the sound of flesh meeting flesh was loud in his ears. She screamed his name and shattered, wrapping her arms and legs so tightly around him that he could do nothing more than wedge himself as deeply as he could go and feel each and every pulse of his release jet into her body. He lowered himself, burrowing his arms beneath her so that he held her every bit as tightly as she held him. Then he sagged, allowing his weight to cover her like a blanket, his dick still buried in her sweetness. Each small aftershock, as the last of his release was pulled from him, quaking over his entire body. He rested his forehead beside her temple, and shuddered as her warm breaths puffed over his nape. He'd never felt so relaxed and at ease in his life, even as guilt crept over him for allowing himself this selfish luxury when she'd given him everything, while he still held a part of himself. His soul, from her. But then she turned her head ever so slightly, just enough that her lips brushed the base of his hairline, and she kissed him. One small, exquisite kiss that he felt to his toes. Her body still wrapped firmly around his tightened as she hugged him closer to her, if it was even possible that there was any space left between them.
"Thank you for giving me the gift of your pleasure tonight,"
she whispered. I wanted so badly to do something solely for you. To please you. To show you that you matter to me, Drake. If you ever feel as though you matter to no one, remember tonight, and know that you are so very important to me.
He couldn't respond for the knot that hastily clogged his throat. All he could do was squeeze her to him, not wanting anything to come between them in this moment. Not his fears, his guilt, or remorse. Because nothing could ever make him regret this day. For one wonderful night, time had stopped, and he had seen heaven for the first time in his life. He had felt peace, unlike anything he'd ever experienced, and he had learned what it felt like to be surrounded by the wings of an angel. 28. There was a glow surrounding Evangeline in the weeks following the night of Drake's decadent fantasy and the ensuing emotional revelations between her and Drake that couldn't possibly be overlooked. The only shadow that clung to Evangeline was her continued estrangement from her girlfriends. In the beginning, she'd simply been so busy with Drake and focused on meeting his demands and glorying in the discovery of something new and wonderful that she hadn't given much thought to the passage of time or how she hadn't spoken to them for a prolonged period. But then there was also the fact that none of her girlfriends had made the effort to reach out to her either. And that realization didn't sit well with her at all. If they were her friends, wouldn't they want her to be happy? And wouldn't they want to see that she was happy? How could they know if they didn't bother to even call or text her? The argument always circled back to Evangeline and her own culpability, and guilt would surge hard and strong, because just as her girlfriends hadn't tried to contact her, she hadn't contacted them either. The disconnect was more keenly felt when Drake announced he had to go out of town on business overnight. Evangeline had expected that he would want her to accompany him, since he'd said as much in the beginning of their relationship when he'd outlined the rules. But he'd told her he didn't want her to be bored senseless, since he would be in marathon meetings and wouldn't have any time to spend with her. It would be a flying trip, leaving at noon the first day and returning early the next morning. He'd encouraged her to enjoy herself, with the stipulation that one of his men accompany her anywhere she went. She'd nervously called Lana, Nikki, and Steph, thinking to catch up and bridge the gap between them. But her calls had gone unanswered, and her texts had not been read. As a result, she opted to stay at Drake's apartment and not go out, because her heart wasn't in it. She was afraid that she'd lost the friends she'd had since her days in small-town Mississippi. That night she'd slept alone, for the first time since she and Drake had become involved, and she discovered she didn't like it very much. She tossed and turned the entire night, latching on to the ridiculous hope that he would return earlier than expected. When the morning of his scheduled arrival dawned, she was hatching a half a dozen different ways of jumping his bones as soon as he walked through the door. As it was, within minutes of his return home, to her chagrin, her mother picked then, of all times, to call. Evangeline had cast an apologetic look in Drake's direction, but he'd merely smiled and pulled her down into his lap as she talked to her mom and dad, and had proceeded to distract her by nibbling on her neck and various other parts of her body until she was ready to throw the phone across the room and turn around and attack him. He chuckled when he overheard her mother inquire about her young man and whether he was treating her well, and then to her surprise, he'd taken the phone from her and proceeded to converse with her parents for nearly half an hour. She watched, pleased, as Drake spoke to them in an affectionate tone, relaxed and even smiling at intervals. Happiness tightened her chest, and she snuggled into his side as he continued his conversation, assuring them that he was indeed taking very good care of their daughter, but that she was taking even better care of him. Everything about her relationship with Drake felt right. No longer did she battle with the questions and fears that had plagued her earlier.
The last few weeks had been nothing short of magical, and she wondered if dreams really did come true. She chastised herself for being so prepared for when the other shoe dropped and it was all over. It was time to stop being so afraid of what the future held and throw herself into the here and now and enjoy every minute of her time with Drake. Who was to say they wouldn't end up in a long-term relationship? Drake had proved to her time and time again that she hadn't been wrong to give him her trust and faith. He had taken both gifts very seriously and had respected her offering, cherishing them and her, as he'd promised to do. She also no longer questioned whether she was good enough or asked herself what a man like him could possibly see in her. He was happy. She was happy. What else was important? No matter how she saw herself, Drake saw someone completely different, and he never passed up an opportunity to prove that to her. She felt like a butterfly emerging from a cocoon after a long hibernation, and the freedom from long-held and deep